because that would be gifting, which is precluded in the Washington State Constitution. But on the other side of the coin, it's not right to charge a great deal more than your additional costs, as the city has proposed to do, because we would be gouging the very citizens that those facilities were created for with their own tax and bond money, not to mention the charitable contributions of the civic organizations who helped to build these facilities. Now, if there's an extra amount needed for maintenance and upkeep, then that would be an understandable additional expense. However, the public does not seem to have been informed as to the logic of the proposed fee increases, nor the components of those increases. The council has set itself in the public eye as the purveyors of arbitrary and capricious decision making. Moreover, we are confident that such conduct is without precedent in the state of Washington, and also that the courts have ruled in the past on such issues, finding certain mathematical models to be acceptable means of determining fair and equitable rental rates for the use of public assets. We ask why one of those models was not used in the calculation of these rental or lease rates. Secondly, I wish to address the topic of the natural gas tax. As Mayor Wilson mentioned at the previous council meeting, the city needs to repay the sum of roughly $150,000. He said this immediately on the heels of the discussion of why the council has reached the conclusion that across the board increases for the use of parks by our citizens is the preferred path forward. The mayor also said that fee increases are a fact of life all around the state. What the community needs to hear is a response to the following question. What happened to the refund of this very same gas utility tax that the city received a windfall profit of for about $1.2 million just a couple of years ago? The concept raised back at that time was that the citizens should enjoy a nice refund check. I believe it was former Councilman Spohr who proposed the idea. We citizens never saw any money come to our doors, and now that council is looking at paying back a bill of one-tenth that amount, it seems that we're facing down the specter of increased fees for the use of the very parks that we already pay for on our county taxes and special assessments. We would demand council go back to the drawing board and figure out what the priorities are and a fair and equitable way to calculate the rental rates of public facilities. Thirdly, at last council meeting, I expressed a personal opinion as to what the motivation for the proposed fee increases would be. I was grieved towards the end of the meeting when one of the members spoke up and issued his characterization of my opinion. I endorse the councilman's right to voice his opinion. However, this council member went on to say that the expression of a personal opinion to council is something that, quote, has to stop sometime. Now, that notion I'm obligated to address. The purpose of government is to serve the people. The duty of a public servant is to hear public opinion and to govern with the wisdom God has given and the input he has received. The obligation of citizens is to call their government to be accountable. The constitutional mandate of government is to allow for a redress of grievances between the government and the governed. A citizen has the constitutionally protected right to express their opinion, as does each member of this council. What no man has the right to do is to restrict, quash, or abolish the right of another fellow citizen to express their opinion, as the councilman's comment surely suggests. If someone were to wish to allow for that kind of behavior, they could just as easily move to some other country that allows and sponsors despotic and tyrannical behavior. In my view, it's a sad day when a member of the council who has said they would want to hold the office of mayor someday would even dare to breathe such a threat to our freedom of speech. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Is there anybody else? Yeah, just come on up. Yeah. You want to come to the mic, though, Vivian? Give us your name and address, please.
Hi, I'm Vivian Gamma. My address is 810 East Juniper. And I, too, just kind of want to address that increase in fees. I think it's pretty high. And for one thing, you know, it's for our kids here. And if we don't support our kids and give them a place to have some activities, the next thing you know, they're going to be out doing like those other kids did, causing trouble in our cities, and it's going to cost us a lot more money. Our sports, the Little League and all those guys, they don't have that kind of money to pay those fees. I mean, if I had the money, I'd pay it for them. We got to keep our kids busy with activities that keep them busy and as good citizens. And I really, really asked you to find some way to fix this. I mean, they can't afford that.
Thank you, Vivian. If you hang around, Vivian, you'll see that's been already taken care of. If you have time, that is. Anybody else? Okay, then I'll close citizen input time. Do Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
Make that motion.
Mark Snyder first.
Second.
Ken Kayla second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the consent agenda?
Make that motion.
Okay. Ken Johnson first. Dan second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, then that passes. Okay, then we'll go into current business. 4.1, public hearing on rezone request. Get that up here. Please bear with us as we progress through the technical aspect of the public meeting. This public meeting is now open at 7:16 p.m. and is being held to receive comments on the consideration of request to rezone filed by John C. Warling. I'll now ask staff to present information. Daryl?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. Before you for consideration is a recommendation that has been forwarded by the Planning Commission after hearing the specific elements associated with the request that was filed by John Warling to change the zoning on his property from current zoning of C1 to a residential 4 zone. And I would like to point out the location. The project site, or the application site, keeps disappearing. Is located right here. It's actually at the end of Rose Place. And the rezone request includes lots 109 through lots 114. And so there's a number of lots that were platted in this area as part of an overall residential development. And for whatever reason, whether it was a mapping error at one time or whether or not there was a specific request for this to be zoned commercial, it was approved as a residential plat. And it has all of the characteristics of a residential plat, including a cul-de-sac turnaround and platted lots that are the same in size as the surrounding residential uses in that area. It makes sense for this area to be zoned residential 4, and that is the request of the applicant. In hearing this, the Planning Commission considered the facts of the request and voted unanimously to recommend approval of the rezone request to R4. So that recommendation is before the council this evening for consideration. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. Okay, now we'll ask for public comment. Questions or objections to be heard from the citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I recognize you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes. Okay, since there were no public comments, I will now close the time for public comment. Do any of the council members have comments or questions at this time?
I got one minor one. Does that continue corrupt 7th Street?
The R4 zoning currently is all shown in this, what I'll call purple color. And then this is the area in here. This is Rose Place. Mm-hmm. So the zoning does continue up to 7th, but this site is limited to those lots as part of the application at the end of Rose Place. Okay. But the overall area of the R4 zoning is quite extensive. And in fact, it extends over to the new development of Sagestone as well. There was a rezone that took place on that property.
Okay.
Any further questions by council? Okay, I will now close the public meeting at 7:20 p.m. Thank you, Daryl. Come on. 4.2, ordinance amending the zoning map. Let me get that up here. Daryl, that's you again. Is there any questions about the ordinance for rezone of the map? Do you have how you'd like to have this said, or?
We've provided a recommended motion for you to approve the ordinance honoring the Planning Commission's recommendation and rezoning from C1 to C4. I would like to point out there is one Scribner's error on the ordinance that's before you. Under Section 1, it's correct. Section, on your copy, it says Section 6. It should read Section 2. And so we'll correct that and have that available. If you were to adopt the ordinance, that will be corrected.
Okay, section two, okay.
That would be the effective date.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to amend the ordinance, amending the City of Othello zoning map as presented, except for section six will be section two. Do I hear a motion for that?
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Snyder first.
I'll second it.
Taylor seconded. Any further questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Thank you, Darrell. Okay, 4.3, consideration of agreement with youth baseball. Molly.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Following the prior council meetings and directive from City Council, staff and the Parks and Rec Committee have met and come and agreed to terms with the Othello Youth Baseball and Softball League. Those terms are in the attached contract. And we are here today to ask that council ratify this contract by approving the agreement between the, or the facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Othello Youth Baseball Softball League. It is a 2-year agreement and it has been approved by our city attorney, like I said, as well as the Youth Softball Baseball League.
You want to go over a couple of the items on here, the sum that they're paying, things like that?
So like I said, this is a 2-year contract. It will be in effect starting once it's approved by council until 2 years from now, which is March of 2015. It is a $300 fee per year for the Youth Baseball Softball League. They have full exclusive use of the fields as well as the concession stand to be able to use that as a fundraising avenue if they so wish to do so. So this is the agreement that both parties have agreed to. They have gone over this contract and approved the verbiage, and any recommendations they have had, we have worked out. And so this is a contract that we present to you and are looking for an agreement, or looking for you to approve today.
Any questions for Molly from council? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Othello Youth Baseball League?
So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Gina second. Any other questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Again, that passes. Thank you,
Thank
Molly.
You.
Okay. Training for elected officials. Stan?
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and other attendees. I prepared a little presentation, will hopefully be a benefit to you all, regarding the, particularly the internet security. Some of the facets of my job, areas of responsibility I have as information technology manager, is regarding the security of our, of the data that we have. And the one facet is to keep the hackers out. Part of my job is to make certain that the people that use the computers have the necessary permissions to do what they need to do without having everything wide open to everybody. So one of the increasingly challenges that we face in internet and in any network is the malware, or sometimes we look at it as virus software. Malware is short for malicious software and refers to software programs designed to damage or do unwanted actions on computer systems. So, you know, viruses, worms, Trojan horses, spyware, all of that would fall into the realm of malware. Now, for decades, we've had software companies that have sprung up that do antivirus software, and they have changed the way they do their business a little bit. Originally, it was you scan, a file would come in and they run a scan on it. Each and every file that came across the network was scanned, and it made the network so slow, and it actually wasn't all that effective. And they came up with a method of developing a shield to make it so that it tried to stop them from coming in. and then just scan the files as a file is open to make sure it works. Well, they've become actually pretty effective in most cases at preventing the viruses from coming in, but now we have a new target. Originally, when viruses were starting to be put out, it was what we might call the nerds, you know, the guys that are really smart, trying to show off that they can go in and they can attack Microsoft software, or they can get in through this browser, and they can gain control of your computer. A lot of times it was very damaging to the computer itself and to the data. And it isn't that those aren't still there, but now they've gone from the majority of the malware that we have now is profit-centered. They're after our money. They're trying to, whether it's identity theft, whether it's getting control of our bank accounts, or some of the other interesting things that we have. Let me see if I can give you a couple examples here. One of the first, what is termed as phishing attacks, it's spelled P-H-I-S-I-N-G, S-H-I-N-G. One of the very first ones we had was typically from Africa, and they would be letters like this. And I don't know, you probably all, if you've got internet, you probably received some of these. And they will come up with a name, and they'll say there's a health problem, or I've inherited this money, and I need to find somebody to take care of this money for me. This particular case, this woman says she has a disease, and she's going to die in 2 months, and I want you to take care of my house, girl. And you know, pretty easy to look at it and see that it's a phony. However, hundreds, if not thousands of people fell for these scams, and quite often what it will do is that they start saying, you know, send us a photocopy of your information, your driver's license, or this or that or whatever, and they'll say, well, gosh, this is $8.4 million. To show your good faith, I want you to wire to my bank $25,000 or $10,000, or usually it's, I've never even heard of them being less than $10,000. And people would fall for these. Well, now the word is out, and they aren't quite so successful. Now we come to some of the more current ones. Here's one that says that it's a bill for FedEx. Now the interesting thing is that I don't have an account with FedEx. Number of things to watch for, because we all get these. And they take various, they might show Bank of America, they might show FedEx, they might say this is employment security, whatever it is. But if you look at this, billing online at FedEx.com, I don't really think that sounds real legitimate. Lowercase FedEx.com, they did rob the logo, that's pretty good. But if you come down here to these links, take a look what happens when I hover over this link. Does that say FedEx.com? It doesn't. That's one of the first things you should look for when you get one of these messages. Of course, you can tell a few other things, but the link goes to some phony website. Revenue Services, FedEx.com. Now, I'm gonna say this is a phony. One thing that's interesting about this whole process is that when we click on these links, there are a number of things that happen to our computers. It doesn't just take us to that website. It typically will launch a little what they call Trojan horse software. One of the most effective ones in the last year or two is it will install a little program that runs on your computer that's called a keylogger. It will record every keystroke you make. So when you log on to your bank account, it gets your account number, it gets all of the information that it needs, your username, your password, and everything that it needs to be able to access your accounts. Now here's another one for FedEx. There are many others that I've had that I failed to capture. Okay, here's another FedEx one. Now, if you've ever done business with FedEx, They don't typically have order numbers as such. You see, if you look up here where it's mailed from, chulavista.com, that doesn't sound very FedEx to me. Your parcel has arrived at the post office on December 4. Our post rider was unable to deliver the parcel to you. That doesn't sound real legitimate to me. To receive a parcel, go to your nearest office and show this postal receipt. Now you click on this link.